C.F.W. Walther says, Thesis 1 in his book, Long Gospel, the doctrinal contents of the entire Holy Scriptures, both of Old and New Testament, are made up of two doctrines differing fundamentally from each other, that is, the law and the gospel.
Dr. Carl Fikencher of Concordia Theological Seminary speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Any passage, yea, any historical fact recorded in Scripture can be classified as belonging either to the law or the gospel. That is to say, if we really understand what law and gospel is, we'll find we're not forcing some kind of template over the Bible. We're just speaking the way the Bible actually speaks.
You can listen to Dr. Fikencher's presentation, Making the Case for Law and Gospel Preaching, on an audio DVD from the 2016 Making the Case Conference. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300 to Issues Etc. For more information, look for the DVD logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. On this Wednesday, August the 17th, the headline reads, U.S. Lutherans approve document recognizing agreement with Catholic Church. I'm a Lutheran. I live in the U.S. Is that me? I was unaware that I had agreement with the Catholic Church. I look up the chain of command in my church body, and I don't see anyone of them pictured in the press photos for this historic agreement. Of course, we are on the eve of the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, and this is to be expected. So who are these U.S. Lutherans, and with whom have they exactly struck an agreement, and what is the nature of that agreement? Back in 1999, there was the Joint Declaration on the Doctrine of Justification that claimed to be consensus, and if you looked at it, it really wasn't consensus. Is it this just more of the same? Joining us to talk about an ecumenical document recently approved by the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America and some Roman Catholic leaders, Dr. Al Culver, Director of Church Relations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Al, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd.
What does it make you think when you read the headline from the Religion News Service, U.S. Lutherans approved document recognizing agreement with Catholic Church?
Well, I guess my first thought or feeling is who are these Lutherans? Because it's not the Missouri Synod. And when I see that, I think it's somewhat of a misleading title.
Who exactly are the Lutherans that have entered into this agreement?
Well, they're talking about the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, which is claiming to be the largest Lutheran denomination in the United States. And then it's also an agreement with, it comes from the PCPCU, the Roman Catholic, which is the Pontifical Council for Christian Unity. And that's also the group that we are talking to in the separate discussions.
So explain this, the group of, this is, I take, some kind of a committee of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops?
Yeah, well, it comes out of the Ecumenical Office in Rome, and this document that they're talking about is, I would say, I've read it. It's about 120 pages long, and it's sort of a summary of each of the agreements that, or what they would call achievements over the last 50 years. So it's not as much of a new document as a summary of the past 50 years of discussions between the Lutherans and Roman Catholics.
So to call it an agreement is too strong.
Well, I guess it depends on what do you mean by agreement. I think even the document on justification, they had such an agreement that Rome had to issue an appendix, which basically said if you're a Roman Catholic and you talk like a Lutheran, you could come under judgment. So it's not, I would not really say it's an agreement.
What's the pressure here, given the context of the quickly dawning 500th anniversary of the Reformation?
Well, you know, the 500th anniversary is really one of the major schisms of the Christian church in the West. You know, the first major schism was a split between the East and the West. So you have the Eastern Christians, the Orthodox, and you have the Western Christians, which was represented by the Roman Catholicism, up until the 500th or up until the Reformation in 1517, which is the next major schism in the church. So one can understand, or one can want in a godly way for there to be union or restoration of the church, and we should all pray for unity. And the Roman Catholic Church has corrected a number of abuses that were noted during the time of the Reformation. The Council of Trent cleaned up quite a few of the pragmatic matters, and you've had other councils since then. So it's not as if Rome has been static. Rome has changed quite a lot over 500 years, but what they're really, the desire here is to reunite the church.
So that desire in and of itself is not something to be condemned.
No, I mean, Jesus tells us to pray that the church is one. So we pray this. We pray for the church to come to unity. We also know, though, that there will be errors and schisms and divisions among us until Christ returns. So we live in this imperfect world. So on the one hand, we pray for the unity of the church, and we strive to have a unity with as much as we're able to do. And at the same time, we recognize that until Christ returns and the church is consummated in heaven, there will not be perfect unity on this earth.
You mentioned that this lengthy document is a summary of kind of the conversations that have taken place between this doctrine for this Department for Unity in Rome and the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. What particular things does it deal with? Does it deal with issues like the difference on the doctrine of justification, or is that considered settled already in 1999?
Well, it would go to each of the major documents, and I don't have every single document memorized, but like in 1983, there was a document on the Eucharist, and so the achievements from that document, basically Rome said the Lutherans don't have nothing. They just don't have the full grace of the sacrament in Rome. And in Vatican II, it talks about seven kinds of real presence. So presumably in the Eucharist, Lutherans would have the real presence of Christ, but not the full seven measures of it that Rome has. And so these are the sorts of things that they recognize. What I find interesting, at least in this article from the Religious News Service, is that you have a quotation by Bishop Elizabeth Eaton, and she talks about how there are no longer church-dividing issues. Well, if you think of the position of the ELCA, I mean, they endorse the ordination of homosexual ministers and same-sex marriage, which is something Rome does not accept. So right there, you have a major dividing issue. So I'm not quite sure how they can justify saying what they say.
Well, I mean, just to kind of play devil's advocate, from Bishop Eaton's perspective, she doesn't consider the ordination of practicing homosexuals to be a problem at all, so why should the Roman Catholics? But I'm wondering, that's wishful thinking on her part. I mean, that's how I would read her words there. But this is certainly something that is going to be a major barrier to Rome accepting a communion or a unity with the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Even the service that they speak about, there's the service in Lund in Sweden on October 31st this year, is between the Lutheran World Federation and the Roman Catholic Church, and the Pope is scheduled to be there. And it will not be a Eucharist service. And you have to ask the question, if they have unity, why can't they have the Eucharist? And the Lutherans of the Lutheran World Federation certainly would celebrate the Eucharist. It's Rome that says, no, we don't have sufficient agreement that we can celebrate the sacrament together. So their actions, the statement in and of itself, I think it does correct some misunderstandings, and it also reflects how Rome has changed over the years. I think Rome in these statements is much more gracious than they were, let's say, in the Council of Trent. But the fact remains, even with these statements, the churches are not united and they cannot celebrate the Eucharist together.
How would you describe the conversations that have taken place between the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and the same Roman Catholic group? With about a minute here, Al.
Yeah, I have found them to be incredibly interesting because some of the caricatures I've had of Rome have changed because of it. Some of the things I thought. Rome is not the same church as it was in 1530 or at the time of the Council of Trent. It's changed quite a lot. And Rome does seem to recognize certain churchly characteristics in the Lutheran Church and in Protestant churches around the world now. At the same time, some of the core issues that separated our church from the time of Reformation still exist. And it is certainly good to be talking to them, but to say that we're on the verge of agreement is wishful thinking at best and maybe deceit at worst.
Dr. Al Culver is Director of Church Relations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Al, thank you very much. Keep up the good work.
All right. Thank you, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., it is Christ in the Old Testament, our series with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, and we're going to talk about media coverage of religion with Terry Mattingly. We strive for this unity. We don't give up on one another, especially when there are so many valuable points of agreement between Lutherans and Roman Catholics. But the points of difference, just because they may be fewer over the last 500 years, still exist. And until we can hammer out that central one, that is, how a man is declared righteous before God for Christ's sake alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, until that one is hammered out, the rest of them, we may agree on everything else, although some of those agreements may prove to be only apparent. Until we can work out that one, the rest of them aren't really worth talking about. Once we can work that one out, well, maybe we can finally do what the Reformation hoped to do and correct the errors of the Roman Church. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening. Talk with you tomorrow on Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to eighth grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.